Elon Musk wins official praise for Tesla during a surprise visit to China. More coming up on Business Matters. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me here today on this Monday. To start off, we're going to head to Wall Street. U.S. stocks ended higher today with sharp gains for Tesla and Apple leading the way. So Tesla's shares surged after electric vehicle maker made progress in securing regulatory approval to launch its advanced driver assistance program in China, which, by the way, is its second largest market after the U.S. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Apple, as well, gained following a report that the iPhone maker had renewed discussions with OpenAI about using the startup's generative artificial intelligence technology. And Bernstein upgraded Apple stock to outperform. So now investors are looking toward what the Federal Reserve would say later in the week about interest rate outlooks after its policy meeting. And the bigger question here, other than rates, because they're not really going to cut this week. So the real question is how hawkish they're going to speak, because recently they have been pretty hawkish. Now, since the pandemic, many small businesses are still dealing with economic hurdles. And what's going on here is an April small business rent report found that 43% of small business renters were late on their rent or could only pay part of their payment. Alignable conducted this survey, and it found that small business owners say rent is higher, costs have increased, and at the same time, revenue is declining. Nearly 70% of businesses formed before the pandemic report making less monthly now. And the report also found that inflation is growing as the top concern for small businesses. Elon Musk in China, and this is apparently a very friendly surprise visit there, which resulted in China paving the way for Tesla's future in a significant way. NTD's Virginia Gibson has more.
Elon Musk visits China, where he shook hands with the country's number two official, Premier Li Qiang. This was to discuss further cooperation between Tesla and China. Chinese leaders praised Musk, calling him a successful model of U.S.-China collaboration. Beijing also removed one of Tesla's key hurdles. Officials said Tesla passed the country's data security requirements, paving the way for full self-driving in the world's second-largest economy. Tesla reportedly also partnered with Chinese tech firm Baidu, according to people familiar with the situation. This is to access Baidu's mapping and navigation technology and to enhance its full self-driving service.
This is a big deal. Musk has said repeatedly that they expect to make a significant amount of money from the full self-driving technology.
Auto expert Paul Eisenstein says many believe Tesla will lose market share in the electric vehicle space over time. So to compensate for that, Tesla may rely on technology such as full self-driving to make money.
One of the great advantages of a system like this is to use it. You have to subscribe. So it means that the automaker is going to continue taking in profits, taking in revenue, and making a lot of profits long after the car is sold.
Eisenstein says a subscription may cost around $100 more a month, depending on the market. This comes after U.S. regulators issued a scathing assessment of Tesla's self-driving technology last week. Musk has said self-driving tech is critical to Tesla's future, claiming Tesla is more of an AI robotics company than just a car company. Virginia Gibson, NTD News.
So speaking of Tesla, of course, we have to mention its biggest competitor in China, and that is BYD. An electric vehicle price war and weak demand have sapped earnings from the company. Now, filings are showing that first quarter net profit and revenue both grew, but it was the weakest quarter profit growth since 2022. And its revenue, BYD's revenue growth, slowed to the weakest level in nearly 4 years. The results suggest BYD, though still pulling ahead of rival Tesla, but BYD has ramped up its efforts to move up market, if you will, with higher end models. But the EV maker is also in an intense price war to win over customers in China. It has slashed prices as much as 20% on the latest models of its cars. And moving on, federal safety regulators are investigating Ford's hands-free driver assistance system. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is looking into Blue Cruise after two fatal crashes involving stationary vehicles. Specifically, they're looking at the systems in the 2021 to 2024 Ford Mustang Mach-E models. Blue Cruise is only available on certain roads and uses a camera-based monitoring system to determine driver attentiveness. And ex-owner Elon Musk is set to be questioned under oath over severance pay. Thousands of former Twitter employees claim Musk cheated them when he took over the social media company. Musk acquired Twitter in October 2022 for around $44 billion. Twitter has been accused in multiple suits of numerous labor and workplace violations. And this is the first hearing, actually, in the layoffs arbitration case. Now, according to Bloomberg, the deposition will be in person and is expected to last 7 hours. A spokesperson for X declined to comment. Now, for the first time, a COVID vaccine maker is admitting the shot can cause a rare side effect. AstraZeneca is being sued in a class action case. This is over claims of its vaccine causing death and serious injuries in dozens of cases. So in legal documents, we found out that AstraZeneca accepted that in very rare cases, its COVID vaccine can cause people to have blood clots and low blood platelet count. The pharmaceutical giant is contesting the claims, though. AstraZeneca, based in England, and victims and their families are seeking about $107 million. And stocks for Fulton Financial have jumped. Of course, this is coming after federal regulators arranged for it to take over troubled Republic First Bank. And by the way, this is the first bank failure of 2024. So the FDIC announced that it seized and closed Republic Bank on April 26. Now, all locations reopened the next day and branches of Fulton Bank. The combined companies now expect to have about $33 billion in total assets. And according to the FDIC, Republic First Bank had roughly $6 billion in assets. For a bit of perspective here for bank closures, last year, banks failed, three of them, including Silicon Valley Signature and First Republic. Together, their assets were worth $444 billion. Japan's yen has surged against dollar after plummeting to levels not seen in over three decades. Traders suspect that Japanese authorities influenced the spike with a yen buying intervention. Now, the yen's rise to a high of 154 to the U.S. dollar, and the low was at around 160 yen. Sources told the Wall Street Journal that that Japanese financial authorities had intervened in the market. Japan's top currency diplomat declined to comment on an intervention, but said the development was, quote, speculative, rapid, and abnormal. A weaker yen benefits Japanese exporters, profits, and the tourism industry. But at the same time, though, Japanese households are being squeezed by increasing import costs. And now, here to discuss with me on this topic further is Joseph Trevisani, senior analyst at FX Street. Joseph,
hi.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. So I just want to get a sense of how you feel after hearing this news. What were your initial thoughts?
Well, the Japanese BOJ supposed intervention, I imagine they did, is a warning to the markets, but it's really not going to affect any long-term change because the problem, or at least the issue, is the disparity between Japanese interest rates and U.S. interest rates. That's almost more than 5%. That's not going to be taken away by a bit of intervention by the BOJ.
Okay, so a couple of things to follow up here. You mentioned a couple of factors that's driving this weakness in the yen. So can you elaborate on that? Is what you said the main driver here? What are some other drivers as well?
Well, interest rates are the main driver here, because if you think about what's going on in the Japanese economy, the Nikkei, for the first time in more than 30 years, has gotten back to the level that it saw in the bubble years in the mid-80s. So the Japanese economy and its reflection in the Nikkei and the stock average is doing very well. So it's not a drive, it's not being driven by a difference in economic prospects between Japan and the United States. The primary driver is interest rates. You get a carry trade, you invest, you borrow in the low yielding currency and invest in the high yielding currency, and you get a guaranteed return. That's what's driving this.
You also mentioned just now that you think it was a BOJ intervention that potentially surged the yen yes. back up. Why do you think that?
Well, it came off very, very quickly. It was a very propitious time for doing it, if you will. It was a relatively thin market where an intervention by a bank would get the most, it can move the market the most because there's not much liquidity. But again, I don't think this is a BOJ permanent policy. They're not going to be able to move the yen back down to 140 or 150 permanently by intervention. What they're trying to do is to warn the market that not to go any further. But it's a warning. It's not a policy.
So what are some of the things that policymakers are worried about right now? Inflation, households being squeezed, the weakening yeah. yen, in, you know, what are they?
Well, inflation, I mean, a much weaker yen as it has been. It's up, the yen is down 23% from the beginning of January 2023 and down almost 11% this year. That makes all imported goods and many goods, even if they're not imported, much more expensive. Japan has essentially no energy. So everything that they're being paid for is paid for in dollars, but in a much depreciated yen. So the inflation affects almost all aspects of the country. I think that's their primary concern, because on the other side, a weaker yen makes Japanese products much more economical overseas for Americans and others who are buying them. That's not their main concern. Even though that's a benefit for the economy, the biggest problem, I think, is importing all of this inflation.
What about the national debt? If the BOJ wants to raise interest rates to prop up the yen, you know, it has to consider how much right. interest it has to pay on the national debt, right?
You do. But the thing about Japanese debt is it's mostly owned internally in Japan. So it's paid off in inflated, if you will, yen. So it doesn't really have that much effect on the debt for Japan. Most of it, again, is owned internally in Japan.
Okay, one final question. What's your outlook on the yen?
I think the yen will probably stabilize for a bit here, but if you don't get a change in policy, or if the Fed prolongs its pause or even raises rates again, which is a possibility, then the yen is going to weaken further.
All right, Joseph, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it very much. Hope we can talk again in the future.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, moving on. China is hinting at retaliation after the recently passed TikTok ban legislation. What did officials say they will do? We'll tell you after the break. And as well, after the break, one in five Americans ages 50 and over have no retirement savings, and over half worry they will not have enough to last in retirement. We have more after the break. Stay tuned. Don't go away. All right, thank you very much for staying with us here. Just some quick headlines to go through right now. Pizza lovers are feeding Domino's expectations for first quarter sales and profit. This is as customers have tapped into the chain's pizza loyalty program. Same store sales in the US in the first quarter grew, also lower food and cost and higher franchise fee boosted margins. Philips share surged 35% after a smaller than expected settlement was reached. The medical device maker has agreed to pay $1.1 billion to settle injury claims over a recall of breathing devices in the US. Shares for the Amsterdam-based company hit their highest level since April 2022. Ahead of Amazon's first quarter earnings report, the e-commerce giant says it's been getting more packages to customers faster. The online retailer says a greater share of orders are arriving the same day or the next day for Prime members. All right, on to China. Hints of retaliation from Beijing. China is vowing to take, quote, strong measures against the U.S. after President Joe Biden signed two bills into law. And one of them was to seek to boost Taiwan's defense capabilities, and the other requires TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. The new TikTok bill gives the social media app around 9 months to sever its ties from ByteDance or face a ban. Experts and U.S. lawmakers have long warned of national security concerns linked to TikTok, and many have accused the China-owned app of spreading propaganda while harvesting sensitive data on U.S. users. Now, it's worth noting, though, TikTok was never actually made available inside mainland China. Instead, its parent company ByteDance offers Douyin. This is a Chinese version of the app that abides by Beijing's censorship rules. And more than one quarter of U.S. adults over age 50 say they expect to never retire, and 70% are concerned about prices rising faster than their income. And this is according to a new survey by AARP. So the survey finds that about one in four have no retirement savings. Everyday expenses and housing costs include rent and mortgage payments are the biggest reasons why people are unable to save for retirement. For more on this topic, I spoke to Lawrence Sprung, founder of Midland Financial. Here's what he said. Lawrence, thank you very much for your time today. So I wanted to get your thoughts on a survey that was recently released. Apparently, one out of every five Americans don't have any retirement savings. So you at Midland Financial, you have a front view seat of this. You advise many of your clients on retirement. Tell us, what are some of the difficulties that many people face right now?
Yeah, so thanks, Don, for having me. You know, having retirement savings is extremely, as you know, extremely important. And there are many people, many individuals that do not have that savings set aside. And thankfully, the families we serve are not in that position, but we're trying to help educate the next generation, their kids and grandkids, so that they don't end up in that position of this study that you're mentioning. And I think one of the keys is to make sure that you have a plan in place and in a proper budget, and make sure that you are budgeting for that retirement or savings that you need.
So this survey found that people aged 50 and older, they don't have retirement savings. So my question to you is, if you start then, if you're 50 plus, is it too late?
It's never too late. You know, what's the old saying? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. So it's important that if you don't have that savings in place, that you start today. It may not and is definitely not going to be as impactful if you started in your 20s or 30s, but it will help. And, you know, it depends on what your goals are. If, you know, your living expenses can be handled off of Social Security and a part-time job, it may not be as important, but, you know, certainly for those younger generations, it is so important for them to start early. But again, the older generations, just as important, and they should think about starting today, even if they don't have anything.
Now, if you did, in fact, start late, would that automatically mean that when you retire will be pushed back and delayed?
Most likely. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the word retirement. I think it's a construct that's been around for a long time. And I think we're seeing more and more people who are not, quote unquote, retiring. So, these individuals, if they're older with no savings, it's going to be so important that they have a plan in place and understand what retirement's going to look like for them, to have an understanding if that's something they can even do. Now, they might be able to pare back and not work as many hours. They might be able to go part-time, but chances are they're going to have to work at some type of role to help supplement their income stream, unless their expenses are, you know, inordinately low.
Do you have a range for us as to how much money you need to retire comfortably in this economy?
I wish I did. I mean, it is so personal. And I talk about this in my book, Financial Planning Made Personal, because if you have somebody who has their expenses, if their annual expenses are $40,000 or $50,000, the amount of money that that person's going to need to retire on versus somebody who has expenses in the six figures, it's going to be a much different number and lifestyle depending on those two individuals. So there are plenty of calculators, even on our website, we have them available where people can go in and see, you know, get a rough idea and a rough estimate of what they'll need to have saved for retirement purposes.
All right, final question, real quick. Biggest tip you have for us in this topic?
Yeah, pay yourself first. I think it's vitally important. You know, we are the most important people in our own lives, yet we go ahead and pay everybody else first. Why not pay yourself first? If your savings goal is 10%, put aside the 10% and figure out how to live off the 90% and pay everybody else with that, and you'll be in a much better place, and you won't be a statistic in this study most likely either.
All right, well put. Lawrence Sprung, Midland Financial, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Don.
Meanwhile, Americans' trust in artificial intelligence is falling, and this is according to a study by the Stevens Institute of Technology. So what's in that study? NTD Shar Marshall has more information.
An increasing number of American adults say they are using generative AI, but also on the rise are doubts about how well it's being regulated. The share of employed adults with at least a bachelor's degree who say that AI is not well regulated is up by 25 points since 2021.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that Americans are nervous, increasingly nervous about AI, and there's a perceived lack of regulation. I guess we're all just, you know, the public and experts and researchers are all a little alarmed and surprised with all the new powerful capabilities rolling out so rapidly.
Unsurprisingly, there are different levels of concern of how AI is being used in different sectors. That's according to recent findings from a report by the Stevens Institute of Technology.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why people trust military, healthcare, and higher education more in terms of the responsible use of AI. Maybe people tend to see those uses as ones that are a little bit less profit-driven or revenue-driven and might instead be tied to increased safety, security.
In 2024, 3 in 4 adults say that it is somewhat or very likely that individuals, businesses, or the government will misuse AI. At the same time, more people are saying that artificial intelligence pose a risk, and fewer are saying the benefits outweigh the risks. This is compared to last year. Despite concerns, U.S. adults in 2024 still seem to find value in using generative AI tools. Sean Marshall, NTD News.
Thanks for that, Sean. Taylor Swift is once again outdoing herself. Her latest double album, The Tortured Poets Department, has debuted at number one on the Billboard's 200 chart. The music has racked up more than 2.6 million sales in its first week. Tortured Poets is Swift's 14th album to reach number one. She is now tied with Jay-Z for the second most number one albums by a recording artist. And the Beatles are number one with 19 top albums. All right, that's all the stories we have for you today. Thank you very much for watching. If you have any feedback, email us at business@ntd.com or leave a comment. And don't forget, as I always say, business matters. Goodbye.